If you want to remain standing, and we'll honor God's word together as we hear Colossians chapter 2. Actually, I'm calling an audible and starting at 6 instead of 8. Colossians 2, beginning at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness, for He is the head over every power and authority. Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we're thankful. We're thankful that You speak to us, and that we do not live by our own nourishment, by human nourishment. We live by every word that comes to us from Your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in Your living Word, who is Jesus. Amen. You can take a seat. And don't worry, I already had one board member remind me that we didn't take an offering yet. It's on purpose. Our March message series is called Almost True. Almost True, inspired by a set of messages from Craig Groeschel in Oklahoma. We looked the first Sunday in March at this idea that you can have your own truth. What does it mean to have your truth? And how do we submit that to the truth, to God's truth, who ultimately is not an abstract idea, but a person, Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. Last week, we talked about how we can get stuck in selfishness while we pursue self-love or self-care, and how we learn to love beyond ourselves, to love God and love others. This week, we want to answer another question. Why don't I feel like enough? Why don't I feel like enough? Because here's the human reality. You have encountered already, no matter what age you are, you've likely encountered something in life that felt bigger than you, and it seemed like it was going to get the better of you. There was too much to do, too many places to be, too many sides of your life or personality that had to be at work at the same time, and you felt like you were drowning. It happens to famous people and to ordinary people. Whether you're at home raising a toddler or a teenager, struggling with the weight of success or the weight of struggle and failure, there are moments when you have hit a wall. And if you haven't hit a wall yet, just wait. It may be around the corner. You will hit a wall. And our culture, when we hit a moment like this, our culture has this message for us, a message that seems so appealing, and we can get it from individuals or mentors. Maybe you hear it on a podcast or a blog post or a glossy magazine article. You can hear a message like this: you are enough. You have what it takes. You can do anything you set your mind on. Decades ago, Whitney Houston sang about the greatest love of all that was love inside ourselves. A love that would tell us that you are enough. And we want to believe that. We desperately want to believe that. But even when we try to believe it, there's still a nagging feeling. There's still a nagging feeling that we're not enough. Why? Why that nagging feeling? Because you're not enough. I hate to break that to you on Sunday morning. You are not enough. More accurately, without Christ, you are not enough. Separated from Christ, you are not enough. I know that. You are enough. Sounds great. And it feels true. It's something we want to believe in, but it's so close that it can be a tempting false gospel for us, where the Savior, the way to salvation, is you, yourself, me. Here again, Paul's words from Colossians 2, words that were written 2,000 years ago, but still vital for us today. Here at this time in the New Living Translation, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense." I love that, high-sounding nonsense. "That comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ." Hear that good news at the end? You are complete through your union with Christ. Remember, Paul is writing this to people who are already following Jesus. He's writing, reminding them not to get off course, not to add anything to their salvation in Christ. He's warning them not to fall for empty philosophies or high-sounding nonsense. Empty philosophies, lies from people. When he says that, human philosophies, lies of people, or from the spiritual powers of this world, the deception of the devil. Don't fall for lies from other people or the deception of the devil, for without Christ, you can never be enough. Again, that last verse, verse 10, "So you are complete." A person can only be complete in union with Jesus Christ. This almost true statement, "you are enough," can be dangerous because this lie attacks us on two different sides from two different angles. And you know this as you just try to drive down the road. It doesn't matter if you're in the wrong lane over here or if you're off the road in the ditch over here. You're still in an accident. It doesn't matter if you went left or if you went right. If you're not following the center, you will be destroyed. On one side, there's the temptation to think that we are enough, to think that we are enough, but to know that we're not enough. And then, when we know we're not enough, we can continue to be sort of mired and trapped in guilt and in shame, with a focus on everything that's gone bad to us or everything that's going bad with us or the things that we've done bad ourselves. When we get so inward focused, our eyes are off of God because they're on ourselves and on our own weaknesses. And so we're off the road on one side. The other error is to think that we are enough, that our success is our own, and we try to prove our own self-sufficiency, to think that we can handle life all on our own, and then again our eyes are off God, off the promises of Christ, and on ourselves and our supposed strength. And when we do that, we start to believe that we are the source of all of our own joy and all of our own strength and all of our own success, and that is dangerous. Because when you believe that you are enough, you'll stop seeking the one who is enough. When you believe you are enough, you'll stop seeking the one who is enough. And it's easy to think. It's easy to think, sure, I know I'm not enough, but I'm not that bad, right? I'm better than fill in the blank of your latest celebrity scandal story that you read in the news this week. I'm better than most people. But what does God's Word say about us? And this is kind of shock therapy. This is harsh therapy that we need to hear from time to time. We need to hear what the Bible says about humanity apart from Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says, "Without Christ, we are dead in our sins." Apart from Christ, we are without hope and without help. Paul writes in Titus, "Apart from Christ, you are foolish, deceived, and slaves to sin." 1 John writes that apart from Christ, you were spiritually blind. In Romans, we learn apart from Christ, we are wretched and miserable. Everybody's signing up like, yeah, y'all quit nodding. You know, you quit nodding around there. Ephesians, again, you are ignorant. Apart from Christ, you're ignorant, separated from the life of God. Romans 9, objects of wrath, destined for destruction. And from Romans 3, Paul writes, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God on their own. All have turned away. No one does good, not even a single one. What a downer, right? What a downer. But it's true for us that we have to face the blind spots, because when it comes to our own sin, we like to think that our own sin is not that bad. And even worse, we try to compare. We try to compare and still think that we're not that bad. The problem is, we see our sin, we need to see our sin compared to the goodness and hopefulness and wholeness and holiness of God, and not compare it to other people. We need to learn to see our sin alongside the goodness and the hopefulness, the wholeness and holiness of God. For when we compare our sin to God's character, we see it's actually quite horrific. It's actually quite horrific. For sin in the Bible is not just a legal offense or a moral offense against God and against the law. In the Bible, sin is a relational offense. Sin is a personal offense against the personal God who is seeking to love you and redeem you through Christ. Sin in the Bible is not a legal or spiritual offense. Sin is a relational offense against the character of a relational God who loves you. Think about it this way. If a policeman pulls you over and writes you a speeding ticket, I know that would never happen to any of you. But if a policeman pulls you over and you get written up for a ticket, no one is worried about hurting the policeman's feelings because you were driving too fast. Nobody worries about hurting the policeman's feelings because you were driving too fast. That's simply a legal offense. Your offense is against the law. But think again for a moment, for those of you who were married. Think about a sin against your spouse. It's not the same. It's not a legal offense, a simple offense against a written law, but it's a relational offense. It has caused a breach, not in some abstract law, but it's caused a breach in relationship. And it's good for us, whether we count ourselves as followers of Jesus or not, whether we count ourselves as Christians or not, it's good to see this clearly in terms of the nature of sin. But it's even more important for those of us who would count ourselves as followers of Christ. For to fully treasure what we have in Christ, to fully treasure the grace and mercy that God has given us in Christ, it is good for us to remember what we were without Him. To fully treasure what you love, what you are, what you have in Christ, you need to remember what you were without Him. So instead of saying, I am enough, it's actually good news to embrace your not enoughness, if that's a word. You are not enough. I am not enough. We will never be enough, can't be enough on our own. And that is not bad news, but good news. You don't have to be enough. Paul writes in Ephesians about the goodness of not being enough. In Ephesians 2, Paul writes, as for you, you were, hear this, he'll tell us what we were, and then he'll tell us what we are in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, for it's by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Him in Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I love that because it's a reminder that we come to Christ by the grace of God. Because it's easy to think, if we think we're not too bad, it's easy to think, even if we know that we're saved, that we did something to make that happen. Like God extended a hand to us and that we grabbed His hand and then pulled ourselves back up. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we were dead and God came and brought us back to life. I tell you, it's a great thing to be in church on Sunday. It's a great thing to be here on St. Patrick's Day weekend. I love all the green. It's an even better thing to know that apart from Christ, we were dead in our sins. And because of God's mercy, His rich mercy, He is loving us and drawing us. That's the reason there is a St. Patrick's Day, y'all. It's not just because of parades and beer. Because there was a man named Patrick who went from village to village across Ireland to stand in front of pagan kings and tell them with boldness that they were dead in their transgressions, that they were separated from God. And he told them that with boldness and with mercy and with love. And he risked his life, and yet he found his life. Patrick would be the first to agree that apart from Christ, he was not enough to go back to the folks that had enslaved him, from whom he had escaped, and then to bring them a message of mercy and of hope. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, he writes, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God." I love that verse. Our sufficiency is from God. That's good news. That's good news. And in response to that good news, here's a question. In what area of your life, in what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of relying on God? In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of on God? And what is God calling you to do about it? There have been moments for all of us when we've tried to rely on ourselves and we've hit a wall either before our life with Christ or even during our life with Christ. I'll tell you a short story from somewhere around 2015. I hit a wall. I hit a wall personally and in ministry. I called my boss, my superintendent. I needed to talk some things out. His schedule was so busy, the only time that he had available to talk was if I would meet him after a meeting in one city and ride with him in his car back to Columbus. He was that much in demand, and I was that desperate that I found a different way to get to one town. I rode with him in his car. And it was a time I had hit a wall. I was sinking. I felt defeated. I wanted to quit my church and move on. And you know what he told me? He told me it was okay. He told me it was okay. He told me that my work and my struggle, my sense of failure, did not define my relationship with God. It was okay for me to say, "I am not enough." And as soon as I was able to say, "I am not enough," that my worth to God was not in my performance, then suddenly everything about my ministry and everything about my church and most everything about my life, even though it hadn't changed on the outside, it suddenly felt okay because I was no longer struggling to be enough. I had found a way again to profess and to live that Christ was enough. Y'all, in that day, in the front seat of that car, through tears and through prayers, the call of God was restored to me in my life. And I could confess again that Jesus was enough, that Christ was enough, and the gospel was enough. Because you see, God loves it. You think God loves it when you have it together. But God actually loves it when we see clearly that we are not enough. And we call on Him to be enough. Here's what God says in the Scriptures. And the band, if y'all want to come on up. Here's what God says in the Scriptures about inviting us to discover our enough in Him. Jeremiah 33, call to me, God says, and I will answer you. Psalm 50, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You notice this, these are not commands to people who have it all together. These are commands to people who would cry out to God and know they're not enough. Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. James 4, come near to God and He will come near to you. This is good news. It's good news to say you're not enough and you don't have to be enough. You never will be enough. God's power is bigger than your stress. It's bigger than your fears. Bigger than your worst mistake or your betrayal, either a betrayal that you've made or someone else who's betrayed you. It's bigger than your divorce or your struggles in marriage. It's bigger than your diagnosis. God is more. Because on your own, you are not enough. And you never can be enough. But you are, if you're not enough, you are some other things. You are beloved of God. You are rescued. You're accepted. You're chosen. You're forgiven. You're filled by the Spirit. You're freed. You're adopted. You belong to Him as His redeemed and renewed children. In what area of life are you keeping those promises at a distance, relying on yourself instead of relying on God? Let's just take a moment in silence to hear God speaking encouragement to our hearts right now. Amen. As I invite our ushers to come forward, you'll be presenting your offering, but in this offering, you'll also be presenting yourself. Offering yourself because Christ has offered Himself to us. You'll start seated like we always do when we take the offering, but after the offering plates get beyond you, go ahead and stand up and then we'll finish our closing song all standing together. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for the way that You have given Jesus Christ for our sake, for our life. We're thankful for the ways that You bless and provide for each one of us. And now we make these offerings to You for Your glory and for Your kingdom. But beyond anything that's in the basket, Father, we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves. Knowing that You have offered so much for us, our offering of ourselves is the most we can do. It's the best we can do to acknowledge that we, apart from You, are indeed not enough. We offer this prayer and all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who is enough. Amen.